Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin, joined always by my co-host, Blake Harrison. Hello.
Hi, mate. How's it going?
All right. You've been having a right little tech nightmare, haven't you?
Oh, my God. GarageBand is absolutely... I mean, I'm still looking at it and it's not right. Like, it's moving slowly, it's very big, it's doing some weird shit. I don't know. Something's not right with it, but at least it's... was sort of working. Like, I couldn't hear myself at all before, and now I sort of can. I don't know, it's been a tech nightmare. Do I blame my wife for removing the microphone? Yes, I do. So, not taking any responsibility myself, just blaming other people. So
that's how I roll.
But yeah,
We're back. This is the second one we've recorded today. We recorded the news one that you've already listened to, hopefully by now. If not, go back, check that out, where we discuss the return of John Jones, the departure of Francis Ngannou, and all other things that have been very topical in the world of MMA. But today we're super hyped because we're talking about UFC 283 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Yes. It's basically Brazil versus the world, I think. I think every single fight is a Brazilian versus someone from the rest of the world. So it's Brazil versus the world, as I would like to call it. And it's a weird one.
I did not realise that.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking down the card and I'm like, of course it is.
It's Brazil versus the world, baby. And it is a weird one. Because the main event is a product of just
injury.
Chaos, really. Mm. Injury from Jiří Procházka, followed by a draw for the vacant belt between Jan Blachowicz and Magomed Ankalaev. And now we are getting a new vacant title fight in the light heavyweight division between former champion Glover Teixeira and Jamahal Hill. Former guest of the show. I do apologise. Former guest of the show.
Make sure you get that.
Jamahal Hill. Please do go back and listen to our chat with Jamahal Hill. It was before he knew he was fighting for the belt, but it was very recently. And it's like a nice little insight into him, his life, his career, and just what I think will benefit him in this fight, a very laid-back nature.
So I should also point out he was very laid back on that show, and he did actually. If I said who's your dream fight, he said if he does come back to the UFC, he would love to, at some point, to fight John Jones.
Who's in the news? You never know. But first, he's got to get past Glover Teixeira. Does he do it? And how does it go?
Granddad Glover, I love him.
Grandpappy Glover. How do you see this going? Are you excited about the fight in general? Obviously it has been weird circumstances, so are you excited, or were you excited when you first heard about the fight, and how do you see it going?
I think it's going to be more exciting than the recent Ankalaev fight.
Yes.
It's all a bit sour, that. I think it's very odd that it's a...
What's odd?
Just the fact that this fight's come around the way it did, and I'm not suggesting both of them are not worthy contenders for the strap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamal's record speaks for itself. He's got that one loss against Paul Craig, which up until that armbar was a very pretty dominant performance from Jamal Hill.
Was it? I think I just remember Craig dragging him to the ground.
Really?
Yeah. Just he went full bear jiu-jitsu.
Well, we're going to see some bear jiu-jitsu a little bit later. We'll get on to that. How do I see this fight going? I know he's a former guest of the show, but I want to see Grandpappy Glover. I want to see him get the belt.
You just love old men, don't you? If you see Grandpappy Glover do it, you're like, there's still a chance for me. I can still do it one day.
all those times
in the Muay Thai gym, and there he is running his 5K every now and again. He can still do it.
Old
Whiffin could do it. If Grandpappy Glover can do it, there's hope for us all.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
I think you know.
How does he get it done? If you think Glover's going to get it done, how does he get it done?
I think it's going to be a lot of rough and tumble. I don't think it's going to be a big strike fest. I think Jamal will probably want to strike, but I think Glover's going to get him down and just have a little roll around with him. And I think he'll grind out a decision win.
Rough and tumble is a phrase I haven't heard for years. A little bit of rough and tumble.
I wonder why you're sitting there laughing to yourself.
Because that's every Sunday. So every Sunday, my mum and dad, they'd go over the local social club with Take Us.
What,
as well.
A bit of rough and tumble?
Yeah, for a bit of rough and tumble. This is like every Sunday, and then they'd have a bit of like, they'd do the bingo or whatever, and me and my brother be running around either playing football in the garden thing they had or running around the snooker hall where we weren't allowed to be or something like that. They had like one of those old like Tyson arcade machines as well. You'd play that Tyson Punch Out or whatever. And then you come home, my dad would watch the football, and in the gap between the football finishing and The Simpsons starting at 6 o'clock, there was like half an hour where we would do what my dad called rough and tumble. And it would just be like us wrestling each other. So my dad would just get on his knees and just like me and my brother would be like jumping and trying to hit him, and he'd just be picking us up and slamming us down. I was like, that's rough and tumble to me. So it made me chuckle. Anyway, I digress, and I know it's a
long-winded story. I would quite happily pay money to see, you know, maybe strip a couple of the rules back and make Jamal Hill fight Glover Teixeira in a car park of a working men's club. I'd be well up for that.
No, this is back at home. We weren't like trying to kick the shit out of my dad in the car park. We were back at home in the living room, jumping off the sofas.
I think Glover's going to grind out a win. How do you see it?
I think it's relatively hard to call, because the obvious storyline would be Jamal needs to keep away and keep that range and distance, use those long limbs, and Glover needs to
Which
get into the ground.
Which
he's very good at. And Glover needs to get into the ground. If I rewatched a bit of the Thiago Santos-Jamal Hill fight, Jamal Hill was pretty good at getting back to his feet. But he did get taken down a fair amount of times, particularly, I think, towards the end of maybe like in the third round and stuff like that. He was taken down a lot, but he was just really good at getting back to his feet. Santos is not the grappler Glover is. Glover is a much more accomplished grappler, and has got much better top pressure and all that kind of stuff. So that is a big step up for Jamal, I think. I think as the fight goes on, I was going to say it's going to get harder and harder for Jamal to stop those takedowns. But the contradiction to that would be Grandpappy Glover is 43. He's 12 years older than Jamal Hill, who's in his prime. And that fight with Jiří, man, what a fight that was. That fight with Jiří Prochazka a year ago. That's one of those fights, though, where people talk about you're never quite the same afterwards. Like that, it takes something away from you. A war like that leaves you, you've given a part of yourself to that fight that you can never reclaim. And will Glover be able to absorb the shots the way he does before? I mean, we spoke about on our predictions episode where we predicted the champions. I think we mentioned this fight. We predicted who would be champs by the end of 2023. And I mentioned that Glover's head is like, it's like a boulder. Like the man has a huge cranium and that can really absorb the shots. But Jamal does hit hard. It's a year after that war with Prochazka. He's 43 years old. Can he keep doing it? Can he keep, you know, absorbing those strikes and getting the takedowns and stuff like that? I don't know. But then again, mentally, it's a whole different world for Hill. I think Hill, from our chat with him, is pretty laid back, pretty chilled out. I don't think much phases him. However, to fight for the very first time for a title, to fight in enemy territory in Rio de Janeiro, where Glover's the hometown guy, everyone's going to be cheering his name and booing Jamal Hill. How will he cope with that pressure? I like to think he'll deal with it well, but it's a question that there won't be an answer for until the night itself. I think on paper, Glover has more ways to win. He does have heavy hands. He can clip Jamal, and he's got those takedowns and the such superior grappling. Look what he did to Jan Blachowicz. Like, he just mauled him. But Jamal's got good boxing, great shots. If he can keep away, you never know. I think on paper, Glover's got the more chance to win. I just have a sneaking suspicion that Jamal might be able to do it. And I don't know what that's based on. It's just like a gut feeling that maybe Jamal can do it. So I'm going to go with Jamal, but I'm not overly confident. But I think Jamal could do it.
Big talk.
Big talk, yeah, sure.
Just before we get on to the next fight, I've just seen something which involves a Brazilian. So rumour is, I don't know if this is old news to you. I know you're generally more hot on the press than me, but apparently the talks are happening for Charles Oliveira, Benil Dariush.
All the talks, I didn't know the talks were happening for that. I was hoping that there might be something like, I mean, really, I think Benil should fight Poirier. But I think
Dustin Poirier. Oh
God, please go and listen to our prediction episode for who will be champs at the end of 2023. Stu's picked some absolute corkers, and one of them, and please, let's not give it away now. There's a world in which Stu thinks at the end of 23, Dustin Poirier is the UFC lightweight champion of the world. And I was gobsmacked. Absolutely gobsmacked by that pick. And he had one or two that were out there, but that one took the fucking biscuit and it ate it and crapped it out. It was unbelievable, that pick. So, yeah, please go and listen to that if you haven't done yet. It's on YouTube. It's where you get your podcasts and all that stuff.
So, we did also talk about, and I think I chose Figgy to be the champ at the end of the year.
You did. But going back on that, I think Benil Oliveira is a fantastic fight, by the way. If that does happen, that's a great fight. It's exactly what Benil needs, that or Poirier or something like that. I think Poirier would have been better, because if either one wins, they should get a shot. Whereas if Oliveira beats Benil, I don't think he should get a shot right away. I don't think he should rematch Islam. So
Benil gets that win. You cannot put anything in front of him other than the champ.
Well, you say that, but I feel like he's been in that position for a couple of years now. And
himself any favours by just going, fight whoever.
I'll fight 10 guys. No, Benil. No, Benny. You idiot, Benny. So, yeah, he's got a win against Oliveira, which is going to be a fantastic fight. Yeah. Jesus, really great fight. I think I'd favour Oliveira, actually, but you never know. But yeah, that'd be a fantastic fight. But moving on to, as you say, Figueiredo Moreno 4, the Tetralogy. Shout out to Sean Sheehan.
Tetralogy.
Yeah.
Word of the day, toilet paper in the house and house.
There it is. And some people don't get on board with Tetralogy, naming Sean Sheehan. But, you know, don't worry about it, mate. It's some of it. If you want to say quadrology, you can. Just know you're wrong. Yes, the Tetralogy, Figgy Moreno 4.
Are you excited to see this throwdown again?
This is my fight of the card. This is the one. If this could headline the card, we didn't need Jamahal Hill, Glover Teixeira for me. This is the fight. All three of their fights, every single one of them, have been absolute corkers. Absolute fantastic fights, all three of them. It's the first time ever people have fought each other for a fourth time, and there's no better couple of people in their kind of in a moment in time that could have done it. I know that these guys have put on performance after performance after performance in all three of their fights. There's been a year since their last one. During that time, Figueiredo sat out. Moreno has won the interim title against Caicara France. Figueiredo is 36 now, I believe. Oh, no, he's 35, I think. And we've spoken about this on a couple of episodes, and I'll say it again. Sorry to bore you, everyone. The lower weight classes, you age like milk. There comes a point where you lose that speed and the thing that made you great at that weight class. I do think Figueiredo has always got the power edge over Moreno, but I think the speed could be a factor. And 35 years old, Moreno's not even 30 yet. Moreno's 29. It's just like he's getting better and better. And I just feel like Moreno can do him. Because, I mean, I still think it'd be a close fight because I think these two are so evenly matched and so brilliant. But I just think the more time goes by, the more likelihood there is of Moreno pulling away from Figueiredo, particularly because of the age. So that's where I'm thinking. The only other thing is as is always really interesting with fighters, is the mentality. Figueiredo has left Henry Cejudo and gone back to his roots in Brazil and is fighting out of that camp now, as far as I'm aware. Moreno's had a terrible time of it. He's part of the James Krause camp. And obviously, with the whole James Krause betting scandal, he's had to go and find other places to fight. And I don't know of a specific MMA camp that he's training out of. I know he's gone to a boxing camp. I can't remember the name of the trainer, but it's a guy that's trained Canelo and Fury and all these people. So I'm sure Moreno's boxing will look very sharp, but boxing for boxing and boxing for MMA, different things. And you do need slightly different skill sets. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting one as well, to see kind of like mentally where is Moreno at in that way. How do you see it going? Are you really excited about this fight as much as I am?
Like you say, all three fights have been absolute crackers, so I see no reason why we're not going to get the same with this one. Obviously, I claimed that Figgy was going to be the champ at the end of the year, so I don't see this being a stoppage. Much like the previous shout on Glover's card, I think that Figueiredo will grind out a win. I think it's going to be a fantastic fight, but I just think it's going to be tight, like they've all been. But Figgy gets the win. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to see Figgy get the win.
Yeah,
I love Brandon Moreno, but I think Figgy's just. I don't know. I think he's just got something a little bit extra that Moreno hasn't got.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I do hear that. I think it will be a very close fight. I didn't pick either Moreno or Figueiredo to be champ by the end of the year. So go and look at the predictions episode to see who I chose as my champ by the end of 2023 in the flyweight division. I think both of them are fantastic. I think we're in for another cracker of a fight. I don't think we're going to...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm going to be disappointed at all. I just love Moreno so much. I love his style. I love that kind of the way that he boxes with like his hat. He does that jiggy like thing with his elbows. He does all that. And he's always got his mouth open. He's like, I love all of that. Then he's got this crisp Mexican boxing, fantastic scrambles. The speed is there. He's got an iron chin. Why are you laughing? Because I did all of that.
Yeah. If you're not watching this on YouTube, I suggest you just pop over there just to see Blake's little Brandon Moreno impression.
I love it. I love all of that. I love the way he does it. I think it's just charismatic. I'm all for it. I think heart and head, I'm going Moreno. I mean, the guy builds Lego. I love him.
Yeah, man.
I love all of that. But I mean, how funny would it be, given the craziness that we've had over the last couple of months with within the UFC, Francis leaving, billboards going up with fights earlier than they should, Ankalaev and Yan getting a draw, and the vacant belt fighting again with two new fighters. Mm-hmm. All this craziness we've had over the last couple of months, wouldn't it be funny if something crazy happened, like Figueiredo missed weight, so lost the belt, and then won against Moreno, and then the belt at flyweight is vacant?
Why? You're being a little bit Mystic Meg here.
I'm just being a bit wacky.
You're trying to throw that out there on the off chance that happens. You can dine out on that, can't you?
I could do. I'm like Heath Ledger in The Joker. I just want to see the world burn, man. Just chaos. Let chaos reign. Figueiredo misses weight, wins, and then the belt's vacant. Who fucking knows? Mohamed Makhachev, throw him in there.
That's why we love the sport. Because you just do not know what's going to happen until that until that buzzer goes and it all starts. You do not know.
Nope.
And I guess one of the things that you see, that one of the last times where it all went bananas was Khamzat Chimaev.
Oh my god!
And all of the nonsense around that. But that was Gilbert Burns' last fight, wasn't it?
No, Gilbert Burns' last. No, Khamzat was Nate, wasn't it?
Of course.
But I believe, if memory serves, there was a slight weird kind of like mini Towelgate situation with Khamzat versus Burns. I think there was a few conspiracy theorists out there, and I need to do my research on it, that thought that maybe Khamzat didn't quite make weight against Burns, but it was a bit of a Towelgate moment. But then obviously when he came in at like 178 or whatever against Nate Diaz, and the whole card had to be shifted around, that was craziness. But Gilbert Burns, his last fight, I believe, was that the Chimaev fight?
Yeah.
Burns' last fight? That was the Chimaev fight. Yeah, I mean, Gilbert Burns, Neil Magny, 5th against 12th. I'm sort of excited about it. It's a nice fight, you know. It's not like I'm not hugely excited about it or anything, but I think it should be a good, fun fight. I'm kind of happy for Neil Magny. I kind of feel like he's had one of those careers where it's like he goes on like a 6-fight win streak, but then loses against someone half decent. And then he goes on a 3-fight win streak and then loses against someone half decent. And then he should be fighting people ranked above him, but he gets given Shavkat Rakhmonov, who's behind him, and all these kind of things. So I feel like Neil Magny, the winningest welterweight of all time, is sometimes gets a bit of bad luck. But
he's
this is a big fight for him.
He has fought everyone.
Been around, hasn't he?
He really has fought everyone. And he has beaten a lot of very, very high-level fighters. And you know, we often reference Neil Magny as that kind of gateway fighter to the top 10 in that division, and and I think this is a great fight for him. Gilbert Burns is a big name, and I think this has the makings of a pretty decent fight. Magny's so well rounded, but I don't know. I think Gilbert Burns, I think is gonna showcase something and get the win.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm as much as I'm happy for Magny, and he'd be a welcome addition to the top five, I think, just to freshen things up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sounds weird saying that Magny would freshen things up when he's been in the UFC for so long, but I'd like to see him thrown in there. I think he deserves it. He's been around for such a long time. I think Burns is sort of maybe slightly better everywhere. I think Magny's got fantastic cardio, but it's only a three-round fight, not a five-round fight. That's probably one of the places where Magny would excel over Burns is his cardio. But I think Burns hits way harder than Magny.
And he looks so much bigger than Magny.
In thickness, in girth, but not in length.
Yeah. Oh, steady.
What do you prefer, girth or length? That's the question. Magny or Burns, girth or length? What do you prefer? I think Burns hits way harder. I think he's probably more dangerous in his jiu-jitsu on the ground. I don't know where Magny really gives Burns, unless he can just kind of like keep a bit of distance and then kind of push him up against the fence, but not go to the ground. Just kind of do that kind of stalling against the fence, little bit of something. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can see Burns winning this fight. I think Magny usually falls short against the top guys. Burns is one of the top guys, and I think, you know, he's going to fall short again, unfortunately. But if Burns wins, I don't really know where he goes.
It's a bit of a strange fight for Gilbert Burns. I mean, I don't know what he's got to benefit from a win over Neil Magny. He's ranked way above him.
Is it just a paycheck? Just a paycheck?
Maybe he wants to fight in Brazil.
He probably does.
Maybe wanting to be on that card, fight at home, get a comfortable win. I don't know. Maybe it's just the paycheck.
But when you're looking at the division, it's like Burns has been beaten by Usman. He's been beaten by Hamzat. Colby doesn't seem to be that bothered about fighting at the moment. He's got his lawsuit with Masvidal. I don't know. Where does he go after this win? I don't know that he'd want to. Does his fight, a fight with him and Bilal Muhammad, do much for either of them? Not really. If Usman beats Leon Edwards in March, you could say Leon Edwards would probably be ranked number one or two in the division. And
would he get an immediate rematch? Probably not.
Oh no, I don't think so at all. No, I think
maybe a win over Gilbert Burns could be the.
Well,
you know,
I was more thinking
contention.
If you're Burns, if Leon loses in March, you probably want to fight Leon because then that'll get you to the number one spot. You know,
exactly.
But again, he's already lost to Usman, so that's not going to be. It's a tricky one. I feel like Burns is in a really tricky position. Actually, because there's people around him, like Hamzat is surely going to get the title fight next after the Usman rematch, regardless of who wins. So where does Burns go? I don't know. It's a difficult time for Gilbert Burns, maybe.
Do you think we're going to see Hamzat make weight?
That's the tricky one, because did you pick Hamzat as your welterweight champ by the end of the year? So I thought that we might, because Usman turned up somewhere with like a cast on, and I thought, oh, Usman won't happen, but obviously it is happening. And so you might get like Masvidal or something like that. And Usman would get the shot October, September, something like that. If Hamzat fights for the belt against anyone, I'm going to find it really difficult not to pick him to be champ. So if he does fight for the belt by the end of the year, I think likelihood is he will be champ. But the only thing standing in his way is, will he make the weight?
Yeah.
And I think he has to fight someone to prove that he can make the weight. Maybe not. Maybe the UFC would risk it, but I think it's a big old risk. If you say Hamzat just goes straight in for a title shot and he messes up the weight, and then you're left with a shitty title fight that doesn't really do anything. I mean, he'd be better off going straight up to middleweight and fighting Alex Pereira, which, again, I'd probably favour him in that fight. So, I don't know.
That's a great shout, mate.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I think Belal Muhammad, Hamzat Chimaev would be a great fight. That's what I'd really like to see. And if Hamzat proves he can make the weight, then he gets the next title shot, regardless of who wins between Leon and Usman.
Okay. So, women's flyweight next. Lauren Murphy against Jessica Andrade. I see this being a bit of a blitz for Jessica Andrade. I think she's going to be too strong. And Lauren Murphy, you know, solid record, always seems to be in there, always seems to just put on a pretty solid performance. But I don't think Lauren Murphy, to me, has ever looked like a world beater. And I think Jessica Andrade has, and I think that she's going to be way too much for Lauren Murphy. I can see there being a stoppage there.
I would basically echo everything you've said. Lauren Murphy is like a good all-round fighter, relies on her toughness a lot, stuff like that. But she's not a real, you know, she's challenged for a belt, but she. If she was down at strawweight, she wouldn't get close, I don't think, to challenge him for a belt. Yeah. She should have a size advantage over Andrade. Andrade being someone that pops between strawweight and flyweight. But Andrade has just shown for me, as you said, that kind of world beater stuff where she's got that exceptional power. She's got great submissions. The only ever standing arm triangle in the by a woman. I think, was it by anyone or by a woman? I'm not sure. In the UFC against Amanda Lemos. That's
against Amanda Lemos. So like
against the top, you know, she could fight for a belt next. Like so she's beating top people. Caitlin Chookagian, who was like the flyweight's answer to Robert Whittaker for a while, who was just second best to Valentina, but no one else could beat her for a bit. Like Jessica Andrade has got great wins. The Rose Namajunas win, and even that loss to Rose, she looked great in towards the end. If that was a five-round fight, it could have gone anyway. I would love to see Jessica Andrade versus Zhang Weili again. I know the first fight was ended very, very quickly, but I think a second fight could go differently. I wouldn't pick her to beat Zhang, but I'd pick her to have a way better fight and a better showing against Zhang. And Jessica Andrade is one of those fighters that really always excites me. I really want to see her fight. I would like to see her pop back down to strawweight and see what she could do there, because I think bigger 100%. Fights are there.
Absolutely.
But she's fighting in Brazil. She's against, I think, an opponent she should be able to beat. And if she does win, will the UFC look at that and go, look, I know it was at flyweight, but she's coming off a win. We know she's great. She's got history. Everyone loves her. Well, a lot of people do love her anyway. And she's, you know, former champion. Do we throw her in with Zhang as a first title fight rather than an Amanda Lemos or someone like that? Maybe they do. So I think there's a lot at stake here for Andrade, even though it's in the weight class above. I think, this could be a good one. And I expect Andrade to win this one. I think it's probably one of the most easy picks on the card for me is Andrade to beat Murphy.
So former guest of the show, the Bear Jew, Paul Greig. This is a really interesting fight because we've got very contrasting styles in this fight.
Yes.
You know, you've got Paul Craig who wants to get you, he wants to lock you up and he wants to get you into his playground, which is generally rolling around on that floor. Johnny Walker.
Bit of rough and tumble.
Far more, bit of rough and tumble.
Bit of rough and tumble.
Johnny Walker. He wants to stand and he wants to fight and he wants to flow flamboyant kicks. He's a very dynamic striker, moves in quite an unorthodox fashion. I think sometimes you get them sort of styles which we saw. Was it Paul's last fight, UFC London? I think it would have been.
I think it would have been. Was that the fight against Uzdemir that he lost?
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't. It certainly wasn't, and I'm a big fan of Paul.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Craig, but it wasn't the most exciting fight to watch.
No.
Because, you know, Paul was trying to get him where he wants him. And Uzdemir wasn't having any of it. And you know, got a pretty comfortable decision win in that fight.
Yes, I worry that Craig's been found out a little bit. That's my concern. I hope not. I really want Paul Craig to do well, but I worry that people are just like, I just need to stay away from you on the ground.
Yeah, and Uzdemir's striking, I don't think, is as erratic and as hard to read as Johnny Walker's. Uzdemir's got great striking, but the way that Johnny Walker moves and throws is quite unorthodox, and he's at range.
I don't know if that's going to be a benefit or not to Johnny Walker, because I agree that like strikes could come from absolutely anywhere, and that could catch Craig off guard, and he could be in big trouble, and we could see a devastating knockout from Johnny Walker. It's potentially on the cards. But equally, Johnny Walker's the kind of guy that I can see trying something and falling over, and then Paul Craig just jumps on him and is like, oh, I'm on top of you now, or we're on the ground now, and I'll just submit you. So that unorthodox movement and the way he throws crazy strikes, I'm like, I feel like that could go either way. It could actually be something where, as I say, he ends up in a really weird position where Paul Craig can go, oh, thank you very much. Now I can just drag you down here or just throw my leg over and throw up a triangle or whatever.
Well, I should point out as well that his last... he went on a bit of a mixed bag of decisions. Like his last fight, he did win by rear naked choke. He beat
Johnny Walker.
Yeah. But before that, losses to Jamal Hill, Thiago Santos. He had a win over Ryan Spann. And before that, wins over Krylov and Corey Anderson. So, you know, Johnny Walker is no joke. And, when I look down there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, massive win streak. And, yeah, so I think, you know, he's obviously... fights out of SBG in Ireland as well, which is...
I believe he has an Irish wife.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he moved there and found love. And that is it. So he works with... why is the name escaping me? This is embarrassing. Connor's coach. John Kavanagh. Thank you.
John Kavanagh.
So he's got a good little life for himself in Ireland now. So it's a Celtic war, Scotland versus Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. But I tell you what Paul Craig will have bad memories of is Brazilian judges. Because the first time he fought Shogun Hua, he clearly won that fight.
Yeah.
And they gave it as a draw. And it was like, there's no way that was a draw. And yeah, so he's going to be hoping, I think, that the Brazilian judges don't get involved and give it to Johnny Walker. But, you know, light heavyweight, go on, what were you going to say?
I don't know why, and I get it with Paddy, is when they're standing up, I just think, oh, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Like, and I just worry that their heads are sometimes a little high and their hands are sometimes a little low.
What, you're saying this about Paul?
About Paul Craig, yeah. And I think, you know...
He gets hit more on the ground, though, doesn't he? he drags them down on the ground.
He likes that.
I know! It's so weird. He drags them down. It's underneath them. They're, like, smashing him with punches. And he's just like, yeah, I'll take a bit of that. Let's slip a bit of that one. I'll take that. Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to work out a triangle or an armbar here. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It works.
A lot of the time it works. Didn't against Snoozdemir.
No.
And so let's hope that it does against Johnny Walker. I think a lot of fighters just need to go... If you're fighting Paul Craig, just be like, don't even try and go down into his guard and ground and pound him.
Yeah.
Just don't even try.
I'm going for Paul Craig in this because, A, he's just a ledge and a really nice fella. And I saw his face when he walked out of that octagon in London and he looked absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
Like... You know, he comes in so strong in the weigh-ins with the with the face paint and he had hyped himself up. He come out and he looked fired up and it must have hurt to get that loss. In London, and I think it's a while ago now. I think we're going to see him come back and have a little look at maybe the fact that as you said, maybe some people can kind of suss that style out. And if somebody can stay at range, Johnny Walker could be that guy. So I think he's no fool, Paul Craig. He's going to know and he's going to study our Johnny Walker fights. And I think we're going to see an improved Paul Craig. And I think he will get him. He will get hold of him. And he will choke him out. I'm quite mindful that sounded a little bit like Liam Neeson in Taken there. He will find him. He will. And he will kill you.
Oh, man. I mean...
Well, how do you see it going?
Well, I really do think it could go either way. I'm hoping for Paul Craig. I really am. That's what I'm hoping for. But the other interesting thing is this light heavyweight division is all over the shop at the moment.
Yeah.
If you put together two decent wins, you could find yourself fighting for the belt. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what if Glover beats Jamal Hill and retires? The belt's vacant again. If you're coming off a win and then you get another, like, that's it. You could be the guy fighting for the belt. There has to be an injury here or whatever. These guys, I don't know where Craig and Walker are ranked, but I'm imagining they're in the top 15, if not the top 10. And then you're
look at the boats in there. Ankalaev, Jamal Hill. Who's got wins over both of them?
Paul Craig. Exactly. So, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. What if there's a draw? What if there's another draw? What do you do then?
Fucking Mystic Meg again. Here we go.
No, look, obviously, look, it's highly unlikely to happen. But what if they draw and they go, fuck, we need a title fight as soon as possible. Anthony Smith versus insert name here. Who's on the list? You don't want, like, it's too early for maybe Yan, Ankalaev, Jamal, Glover, Yuri's injured. Like, then you where are you going? You're probably going to someone like Paul Craig and going, oh, mate, just come in and have a title fight against Anthony Smith because we've got no one else. Like, it's something like that could happen. And if he were to get a win over Johnny Walker in Brazil, he could find himself in a unique position where maybe things fall. I mean, it has to be a few little dominoes fall his way.
Yeah.
But he could very easily find himself fighting for the belt because the division's been crazy lately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Best of luck to Paul Craig. Want to see you get that win at the weekend. Right, I mean, the main card's really, really good. And I know, you know, we spoke we didn't really want to sort of dig too deep into the prelims. Shogun Hua's on there, which, make no mistake, he's been involved in some of the greatest fights. His fight against Dan Anderson, one of my favourite ever fights. I'm in no rush to see Mauricio Hua fight anytime soon.
It's supposed to be his retirement fight, isn't it?
Right. I mean, he's topping the prelims, and I understand why he probably wants to, you know, bow out in his, you know, in Brazil. Yeah. Anything else on the prelims that you're interested in talking about, Blake? I mean, we've been going for 45 minutes now. And,
there's no specific fight that I would do like a big kind of like look at or anything.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a couple of fighters that I think people should be looking out for to see if they can kind of carry on some kind of positive momentum going into 2023. First one would be Terence T-Rex McKinney. He is a really, really fun fighter. He's had four fights in the UFC. All of them have been finished in the first round. Three wins and one loss. And the loss was his loss to
Drew Dober.
Yeah, where he nearly finished Drew Dober. Inside the first couple of minutes.
Great fight.
It's a phenomenal fight. I mean, it takes about 4 minutes. Go and watch it. And then somehow Drew Dober somehow survived this onslaught from Terence McKinney and then came back and finished Terence McKinney. So he's definitely a fighter you want to look out for. Keep watching because he is loads of fun. And then Jailton Almeida looks like an absolute beast at the moment. He hasn't lost since 2018. He's taking on Abdurakhimov up at heavyweight. Jailton Almeida's
a big looking boy.
He is. I mean, Jailton Almeida's actually quite light for a heavyweight. I think he usually weighs into fights at 220 something or 230 or something like that. So he probably is someone that could make light heavyweight if he wanted to. But so far he's having success at heavyweight, so why cut the weight? You just enjoy yourself up at heavyweight. I'm sure there'll be a point when he gets to the upper echelons of that division where the weight is a factor because I don't know that someone at 220-something can really do a huge amount against Cyril Garn, Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes and the likes. You know, that's a tall order. But for now, he's ripping it up and at the end of this fight, he could be ranked in the top 15. And he looks really good, and I think we might see him drop down to light heavyweight at some point in his career if he gets a loss somewhere down the line. But he's looking really, really good. So watch out for Jailton Almeida as well.
Absolutely. 12-fight win streak. I mean, you know, that's exciting. Anything else, mate?
Not really, no. I mean, Gregory Rodriguez has looked all right in the last couple of fights. He got that huge, horrible gash down his forehead in his last fight against TG and Jaquani, and that was pretty awful. Also, it's called RoboCop, so I like that. he looked good, but to me, Terence McKinney and Jailton Almeida are the ones to watch on the prelims. I don't know whether their fights are going to be particularly competitive, or in fact, I don't know a huge amount about their opponents. Not looked into it too much, but they are fighters that if they get wins, you could see them a lot more in 2023 really pushing into the rankings and doing well. And come 2024, they are the names on everyone's lips, maybe. We'll wait and see.
Absolutely. And, you know, in regards to 2023, go and check out our prediction show where Blake and I go through how we see this year panning out and who we think will be crowned the champs at the end of the year. Also, when this episode drops, once you finish listening to this one, whether you're going to be on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast from, in the comments below, let us know who you think's going to get the wins on these. Let us know what your thoughts are. Let us know if you think I'm sitting on the fence, and let us know if you think Blake shouldn't use words like tetralogy.
Tetralogy, yeah.
There you go. But yeah, so some great fights this weekend in Brazil. Hope you enjoy it wherever you're watching it. Give us a like, love, share on the socials. We're on all the usual platforms. And yeah, subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back next time for the post-fight show, right?
We are back next time. And also, if you haven't listened to it yet, we have a news episode that should be out now as well, where we discussed all the comings and goings of recent big news stories, including the release of Francis Ngannou from his contract, the vacant heavyweight title fight that's now going to be fought between the returning John Jones and Cyril Garn, as well as Leon Edwards, Usman, Rafael Fiziev, Justin Gaethje, and a few other things as well. So, yeah, go and check that out.
And if you want even more, then go and check our interviews with Jamal Hill, with Paul Craig. There's a lovely story from Paul Craig when he talks about the break. Was it an actual break of Jamal Hill's arm?
I think it was.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
And what they done afterwards, how they hung out afterwards, and the state that Paul Craig got in afterwards. It's a lovely story, and it'll make you love both of them fighters even more. There's a lot of respect between them, and it's a really, really fun story. And it was only, you know, a month or so ago that we had Jamal on the show as well. So go check out them. And yeah, other than that, we're done.
Bye, guys.
Bye.